Unto you be glory and honor and praise in the church right now. Father, our prayer, our heart's desire is that flesh will decrease and your spirit will increase mightily. The convincing power of sin, righteousness, and of judgment to come will be released upon this congregation. Oh God, our praise went up in worship. We pray, oh God, it will enter the nostrils of the living one as a sweet-smelling savor. Abba, Father, condescend now, O mighty one.
Name of Jesus.
Condescend and minister grace to the humble and every hearer. Oh God, we are base and abound, waiting to be filled and full of you. You said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be full of the Spirit. It's not by might today nor by power, but by your Spirit all things are wrought and accomplished for the honor and the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are so thankful for your ministry today. You called us for your purpose. One of the words of the song writer that we sung earlier. Oh God, for your glory, may you draw all men, women, and children. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. God, you turned water into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. Oh God, this dark world needs a light. I pray, as you touch us, the candlelight of our spirits will fan into a flame. We, oh God, will be challenged to let our light shine before men.
In the name of Jesus.
That they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We give you praise, thanks. We give you honor and glory. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor. Glory neighbor. Glad to see you in the service. Neighbor, tell somebody else, it's a privilege to be seated next to you.
Praise God.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I would like to share with us on the subject. It's basically the sixth sign miracle, or the sixth miraculous sign. It's found in the book of John chapter 9, 1 to 41, a very long passage of reading. But I'd like to take my theme or text from John 9, 5, which says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
It was Jesus who began speaking this line of thought. He says, as long as I am in this world, I am the light of the world.
Glory.
It became a favorite verse of mine from the time the Lord has called me and snatched me. I memorized that verse and it always dawns on me that Jesus is the light of the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the introduction to John, the beloved author of this book, the beloved disciple, and he's the author of this book. His name is frequently mentioned, but he addresses himself as whom Jesus loved. The theme basically is Jesus is the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
And when we go to verse 31, it explains clearly this statement. So this book was written like about average 95 AD. Everyone know BC? What BC means?
Before Christ.
When you do world history, it tells you from before Christ. The world began to before Christ. They talk about the events and the happenings. All right? AD speaks of in the year of our Lord, or from the year that the Lord was born. It's like AD, I say after death, but this is in the year of the Lord.
It's counted from that year one, basically in the Gregorian calendar, right?
Yes.
Amen. So, in the contents of the book of John, John's statement of purpose is clearly spelled out. And I quote, "There are also many other signs attesting miracles that Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe with a deep abiding trust." Can you do that? Believe with a deep abiding trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the anointed Christ or anointed Messiah, the anointed one.
Hallelujah.
And that believing and trusting in him and relying on him, you may have life in his name.
Amen.
Basically, the three predominant words received constant emphasis and re-emphasis or re-emphasizing in this book. Signs, belief, life. The primary purpose, therefore, are twofold, as John being impressed by the Holy Spirit, or under the influence of inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is very questionable by humankind today. What is inspiration? It's the influence of God on the mind of a writer as he pens. God, the Spirit of God, directing and guiding this writer's hand as he pens the flow of the spiritual insights from God without mixture or error. He writes faultless, in other words.
Amen.
That's inspiration.
Amen.
It would take faith. Everybody say faith.
Amen.
It will take faith to believe in such. And even to believe in God, you may need faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is God. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
The Trinity and all the doctrines and teaching of the Bible, you must have faith.
Yes, amen.
Belief, this confidence, this trust in the immortal one that he's able, that there's a being higher than the human being, a super being that is able to dynamically change a life like mine, a sinner, from the guttermost and lift him up to the uppermost.
Hallelujah.
A life that was tossed about by sin to and fro. A life that was like a ship without a sail. It was drifting wherever the wind blows. When the Spirit of the Lord drew up, man, you're able like a fish, a living fish, not a dead one. You're able to swim now against the tide of life.
Hallelujah.
The tide of life will come, throwing all manner of things in the sea. There's so much. There's even predators about to snatch. But there are some fishes that are so wise. They move in droves, and you know, like the church. Yeah. Collectively, we're powerful.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Individually, we still have him who is besides us, who said he'll never leave us nor forsake us,
Hallelujah. But
will be with us unto the end.
Well,
we need to comprehend this and apply it. Life application
Amen.
To our lives.
Glory.
I live with this notion that I'm a conqueror, Glory. And more than a conqueror,
Hallelujah.
Because of him who loved me,
yes.
saved me, delivered me,
Hallelujah.
Set me free.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So reinforcing these thoughts that are signs, belief, and life, we go on to realize that his primary purpose was one, evangelistic, and two, apologetic. Now, reinforcing the evangelistic purpose is the fact that the word belief, occurs more than 100 times in the book of John. Belief.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe?
Amen.
Ask God today, like the prayer of that Lord. He hit his bosom and said, "Help my unbelief." We need to ask God to strengthen our faith and our trust and our confidence in Him today.
Hallelujah.
But in the Synoptic Gospels, which are the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the word belief appears almost half the amount of times. So John composed this Gospel to provide reasons for saving faith in his readers, and as a result, to assure them that they would receive the divine gift of eternal life.
Amen.
John 1:12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become sons of God."
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. You would need to do something today, brother. You would need to do something today, sister. You would need to believe and receive him.
Hallelujah.
And the power to become a child of God.
Yes. Amen.
Instantaneous. It's so simple. We're looking for magic and maybe, what's the other word could fit magic? Illusions. And God doesn't work that way. Look, some people create an image of God in their mind. God may be this shadow floating. God may be this big man with this beard.
Yeah.
What? Jesus said to us, when you pray, simply pray, "Our Father." Do you see anything attached to that? An image or some kind of? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It is so simple. We make it so, you know, complex or difficult. Are you getting the gist?
All right.
I'm saying salvation is at the door, at your heart's door. Just believe God and trust in him. But to all who receive him, the president is coming to visit your home. You're going to open the door to receive him. The influential person is coming, person of influence. He who believe in his name, I'm not the president, no, I'm going to the scripture. Who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. And look at this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes, Mark.
This man Nicodemus, John is a beautiful book.
Amen.
I ain't reached my storyline yet. We're just touching the basis of the introduction. But Nicodemus had an encounter with Jesus, a teacher of the law. And Jesus says, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again."
Amen. Hallelujah.
What? The man is asking, "Well, how can I be born again? I'm such an old man." "What is of flesh is of flesh," says Amen. Jesus. "What is of spirit is of spirit."
Yeah.
If you can't understand earthly things, how are you going to understand spiritual stuff? You being a teacher of the law, you need to know better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus needed that everlasting life. So he came to Jesus at night. And Jesus gave him the way, show him the way, because Jesus indeed says, I am the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way Jesus says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit, not of water, not of the will of man, but of the will of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's it. People are going to tell you all manner of things. Christianity. Listen, you're on a pilgrim's journey. And if you don't get your act right, you're going to be buffeted and beaten down and trodden down on the narrow way.
Yeah.
You might be even kicked off. If not be for the mercies of the living God.
Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because we do things and we say things and we behave in such a way that causes forces equal and opposite to come against us.
Amen.
Pride. When you're going in such a direction, when you believe you're haughty, the spirit of pride steps in. Pride going before a fall, and a haughty spirit is brought low. Come on, believers. He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Be careful what we say about others. Come into that.
Hallelujah.
So we talk about evangelistic purpose. The apologetic purpose is closely related to the evangelistic purpose. But John wrote to convince his readers of Jesus' true identity, or the identity of the incarnate deity. Listen, you can't get us outside. I mean, you could, but most of the times people spend their time doing other things than looking deep into the scriptures, the word of God, which is able to bring salvation and deliverance to one's soul.
Hallelujah.
Incarnate deity, whose divine and human nature were perfectly united.
Hallelujah.
Jesus's nature, he had a dual nature.
Amen.
You know, in heaven, the question would ask, who will go for us? Jesus says, prepare me a body. Behold, I go in the volume of the books that is written of me to do thy will, O Lord. He stepped out of eternity. Hallelujah. And he stepped into time.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Looking to bring deliverance to a lost race, the human race, who God said, let us make man. And he created humankind in his own image after his likeness. Man turned away from God. God had to send someone to bring man back to God. Because of man's sin, he was divorced or separated from God. Adam's sin, it entered his DNA, filtered into the whole human race. The devil had the preeminence in the upper hand of Adam because he submitted to the devil's plan. He suffered because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Sin originated there. But then came the second Adam, Jesus the Christ.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, for God demonstrated, he commended his love to us word, and yet while we were sinners,
Amen. Hallelujah.
Christ died for us.
Yes.
The second Adam, he came and he lived and displayed a life of perfection.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sinless Son of God. But he who knew no sin became sin that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, he lived a perfect life.
Yes.
Yeah. The Bible said, let this mind be in you. Philippians 2, 5. This very mind, the same mind that Jesus possesses.
Hallelujah.
Let this mind be in you. This mind who made himself of no reputation. Mind is an attitude in this version. Let's see if we can get through with it. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Roll. Though he was God. It was Paul writing in the book of Philippians. But what did John said in the book of John? As in relation to it, representing the incarnate deity, or in his apologetics, his defense of the ministry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Hallelujah.
The Word, Spirit, became flesh.
Amen.
John went on to say, in the other writings of John, that which we've seen and handled, touch the very word of life, because they were with Christ eating and drinking, having fellowship, going through hardships, seeing miracles and all manner of things. So Paul is doubling down, saying, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Unlike the devil, you know what he said? I will ascend to the hills or the highest place of God, the mount of God. And I will, I'm paraphrasing, I'll become like God. You know what? He would ascend to heaven in order to overthrow God. But he reached the right foot of fellowship, Michael, and he fought against the dragon. He was cast out of heaven.
Right.
Because of pride that entered into his heart.
Right.
Remember, pride goes before
a fall.
And a haughty spirit. I'll become. I will ascend. I will do this. A haughty spirit is brought low. Look at humility. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He left the esteemed glory. He transcended from eternity. Made his way incarnate deity in the form of the Holy Spirit hovering over the woman. And the Bible says the thing that you conceive is of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Child is conceived in that virgin. Yes! He gives up the esteem, privileges, divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, a servant, and was born of a human being.
Hallelujah.
Is your faith on the level to receive such? Are you being convinced, or are you saying it's just another story? Well, it's his story. He humbled himself in obedience to God. And died a criminal's death on a cross. But the Bible says, therefore,
hallelujah,
the humble, therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, of things in heaven, on things in earth, and things beneath the earth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Glory!
Bless him.
So, let's move on.
Hallelujah.
There are a number of things in the introduction that I would really like you to get to understand, because many times we read our Bibles just on the surface, but you need to get a study Bible and go a little deeper. A good study Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Because you would learn that there were 8 signs or miracles performed in the book. He turned water into wine. Life applications, the joy of eternal life. John 2:1-11. You don't need to go there because I just brushed them through. The healing of the royal official's son.
Right.
Conditions for eternal life. John 4:46-54. Healing the individual or the invalid, at Bethesda. The pool Bethesda. The power to live the life. John 5:1-9. The feeding of 5,000. These were miraculous signs performed.
Hallelujah.
Food for life. That was 5. Number 5. 6. Sorry, 4. Number 5. Walking on the sea. Remember when he came walking on the sea? When the wind were boisterous and the disciples And he came and spoke to the sea. And he says, "Fear not, it's I. Peace be still." 6.
Scripture.
6:15-21. John 9:1-4, which we are talking about today. Sight restore, light for life.
Hallelujah.
This dark world that we are in today, really needs a candle.
Yeah.
It needs light.
Amen.
In other words.
Good word. Yeah.
A songwriter said there's a candle in every soul.
Amen.
But some brightly burning and some
dark
and cold. We'll get to your light and my light just now. 7. Raising of Lazarus. Victory of life over death. Lazarus was dead. Jesus brought him back to life.
Yes, amen.
These 7 signs were before Jesus died, or before his resurrection. And there was the catch of fish, full fellowship of the life. And that was after his resurrection, when his disciples seemed to be depressed and they all went back to their old job of fishing. And the Lord himself showed up and says, "Trust out the net." And signs and wonders followed. A big catch was made.
Hallelujah.
And the net didn't break. Food was prepared for them on the bank. The power of the living Christ.
Glory.
There are important themes in this book that includes and emphasizes clearly the I ams. I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
Friend, if you're hungry, partake, he says. Come eat of my body. We partook today. The little wafer is just symbolic of the body. body of Jesus, which he, on the night he was, before he was betrayed, he took bread and he took the communion. He had fellowship and he says, this do in remembrance of me.
Hallelujah.
There's stuff that we must do in order to remember him.
Yes.
As the body of Christ, and we come together around the Lord's table, likewise, and we have communion. The blood represents his blood. It was hard when he said, if you eat the flesh of the Son and drink his blood, people were like, what? But he was figuratively, metaphorically speaking. And it was so, even in the Bible, there's hyperboles, there's similes, there are all manner of kinds of speech that you will have to study. That's why the word reminds us to study, to show yourselves approved unto God.
Yes.
A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
Gotta do some more brushing up.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, we.
Great.
I am the gate or the door. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I love the good shepherd.
He says,
the hired hand, when he sees a wolf coming, flees.
All right.
But you know what the good shepherd does? He's willing to lay his life down for the sheep.
Amen.
That is what Jesus did for us.
Hallelujah.
We are sheep and the people of his pasture.
Glory.
We are his sheep and his people of his pasture. He is the Lord and the shepherd or the Lord and the bishop of our souls.
Hallelujah.
The captain of our salvation.
Yeah.
And he's more than that. He's the seed of the woman, the Passover lamb, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night.
Glory.
And he's more than that. The rock on which we stand.
Hallelujah.
The kingsman redeemer.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus is everything and more. He's the light of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
Verse 1 of chapter 9 says, and in chapter 9, we see four different reactions to Jesus. The neighbors revealed, or they were surprised, and they were skeptical. Secondly, the Pharisees showed disbelief and prejudice. The parents, which we'll come to see, believed but kept quiet, because of fear of excommunication or thrown out of fellowship. And the healed man showed consistent growth of faith. Verse 1. As Jesus passed, he saw.
What?
9.
Is it John 1:9?
John, sorry.
Yeah, no problem. John 1:9.
The one who is the true light. No, John, this is one?
Yeah.
One. 1:9.
Sorry, 9:1. What am I saying? Somebody help me out. Sorry, sister.
Uh-huh.
So John 9:1 says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been
blind
from birth. He saw as he passed by, as he was walking along. It's amazing how Jesus was always conscious, aware of his surroundings. Remember when he saw the lady put in the 2 mites in the treasury?
Yeah.
He always was around the treasury, you know. You don't know that? I know that. Some of us know that.
Watch it, right?
In the prior chapter, you would see he was there watching.
All right.
And ministering. But what has that to do with us? Jesus taking notice of his surroundings. For life application, often we as believers are so busy with our agendas, our schedules, whatever it is, English, American, a laundry list of items which are more important to us than others. Lots of times, we are minding our own business, careless. We hardly take notice of our neighbors, our neighbor's situation or condition. Sometimes you need to just say, howdy, is everything okay? You marvel at the response. Pick up the phone and call the brethren. Just trying to find out what's happening with you. Marvel! You marvel to know what's happening in some of our lives. Tell your neighbor, do not miss your divine appointment.
Do not miss your divine appointment.
There was a story told by Jesus in the book of Luke about the Good Samaritan, 30 to 37. There was this teacher or of the law, I perceive a lawyer, well learned in the law, trying to question Jesus. But at the end of his answer or learning from Jesus, he asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus began to tell him a parable. A man was going along the way and was attacked by bandits. A priest came over. The bandits at least got what they want and fled. The priest came over, saw the man, look in his face. A priest of the temple. A priest who's supposed to be the pastor of the church. Like the pastor of the church. And he looked at him, went his way. A Levite, a temple worker. Like many of us here, went across, looked, did the same. Like the priest, he went his way. Up comes a Samaritan. Someone who the Jews had no or little dealings with. These half-breeds, because they were colonized by Assyria and they intermingled, and those purebred Jews, they want nothing to do with those unworthy Samaritans. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria.
All right. Hallelujah.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And he had to pass through Samaria because he wanted to meet with a people who needed the light.
Hallelujah. Glory.
And the woman at the well met with Jesus when he passed through. In this course, Jesus says, the Samaritan, that one, administered. He administered and took the man to an inn, and he said to the innkeeper, whatever is the cost, when I return, I'll repay. And Jesus concluded the parable by saying, go and do likewise.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mr. Lawyer, brethren of the church, Christians around the world, go and do likewise. Light up your neighbor's world by some good deeds.
Yeah.
As we engage in life's daily chores, our eyes must always be open for divine appointments. Yeah. Our spirits must be alert, being in readiness to light up our world.
Yes.
That's why we are sent, go ye into all the world.
Hallelujah.
And preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. For lo, I am with you always. Go into all the world. It's really saying go into every man's world.
Yeah.
You at your job, I at my workplace, you on the at the marketplace, you in the tech, you in the whatever, the hospitals, go into your world and light up the lives of others.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Word, word.
Tell your neighbor, be considerate, preferring another to self.
Be considerate, be considerate.
As Christians, we must not be selfish.
No.
But we must look out for the interests of others.
Yeah, right.
If you can't say amen, say arch. We must humble ourselves before others. Respect others. You see what Jesus did? He humbled himself.
Yes.
Watch what we say around people. Don't hurt. The man was blind from birth. He had a congenital blindness. Congenital speaks of a disorder from birth. It could be in different forms, but before or from birth. So, the notion, verse 2, they were asking, Master, Rabbi, why is this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It means his parents had to do something before him. Well, in the culture of the Hindus, it says this: if you have headaches, you are irreverent to your parents. Not are, you were. It means you had a previous life. They speak about reincarnation. I know, you see this fingerprint? Well, and yours is unique. It's the only print. It ain't changing before, after. Because when the day of judgment stands and he calls up,
Lord of mercy.
That one print is what he's looking at. It's like the snowflakes. They're similar.
No mistake.
So, if you're having epilepsy, it means you poisoned someone in the previous life. That's what I say. The reincarnated souls, those that are having epilepsy, it means that in the previous life, they had poisoned someone. They got more, you know. Look at this one. If you're having pain in your eyes, let me take off my glasses. It means that you are covetous. You maybe covet a husband or a wife or property of somebody.
Watch it though.
Sickness and suffering were commonly held, or the notion was that sickness and suffering was as a result or the consequence of someone's sin. That's what it's saying here. Whose sin was this? I'm coming down. I know. What did I say? All right, go on. Somebody says, great. This was a religious problem, and it troubled many. And spiritual light was needed to remedy this situation. The dark mindset of men who believe that, you remember in the case of Job, the trouble that he was facing?
Mm-hmm.
His friends came and said, you were a sinner. You got sin in your life. Quick are we to judge, ridicule. But Jesus was about to light up the disciples' life. He was about to correct the false notion, the false mindset, the false idea by beginning to focus on the purpose of this particular suffering. The guy was experiencing something, a particular suffering, that the glory, next verse, of the Lord might be seen. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Jesus answered, this is happening so that the power of God could be seen in him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
has had to redirect the thought pattern and bring people to the truth.
Hallelujah.
You talk about committing adultery. Jesus says, consider this. If you begin to lust and think about the act, you already commit the act. Think about it. You plan a murder. You said I'm going to kill. It's already. You need to repent. You need to ask forgiveness of these thoughts. Because these thoughts, if manifested, will be interaction, will become the real act. Sin, and when it brings forth, when it conceives and brings forth, it brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God that the gift of God is eternal life through
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ,
Hallelujah.
Our Lord. I'm going to read a few verses. Let's go to verse 4. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. Go on. While I am in this world, I am the light
of the world. Amen.
We'll get a part two, but listen to this. In John chapter 12, verse 5, Yeshua makes claims to be the light of the world. Jesus made this claim. What he says in John chapter 12, verse 5. Is it 5 or 8? Go down to 8, let's see. Nope, we still gotta go. I don't know why I got 5, but he made this claim in John chapter 12. Oh, come on. Sorry, John chapter, I think it's 8. Sorry. Let's see, 8:12. Bear with me.
Yeah.
8:12.
Amen.
Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light that leads to life. Darkness in the scripture is not always a lightless region. A terminology for sin is darkness, in other words. I am the light of the world. If you follow after me, you will not walk in sin, darkness, because you will have the light. The one who leads. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. The light of life. So in correcting this notion, the people always feel that if you're suffering, it's as a result of sin. Jesus is saying, no, it's not so. But yet he says, he's not disputing that sin has its consequences, because the scripture says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die.
Yeah. Amen.
The father had eaten sour grapes, and the children teeth are set on edge. The paraphrasing, the Lord is saying, I will not put the iniquity of the sons upon the father, neither the iniquity of the father on the sons. Everyone will bear their own burden.
Yeah.
Right. Somewhere in Ezekiel, I can't remember the chapter, it's written, The disciples, having not knowing the scriptures or understanding that Jesus knew that, look, you will bear your own iniquity in the time of judgment. If you, whatever a man sow, he shall reap. So if you sow to the flesh, if you sow sinful practices, you will of the same reap. But if you sow in righteousness, you will reap righteousness.
Right.
It's the law, the principle of sowing and reaping.
Yes.
I admonish us today in closing. Is Jesus the light of your world? Is Christ, is the Messiah, the light of your world? Again, I call, as the candlelight gives light to the dark room, is the candle of your world giving light to your dark world? You are called to be light.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget this. Jesus has ascended. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bowl. But they put it on a lampstand that the whole world may see. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
John the Baptist never claimed to be the light. He came to bear witness of the true light. He knew his place. Are you taking the glory of the light as your light? It's just a food for thought, because he is the light. But we are called to reflect that light. That's why he says, you are the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
It's reflecting him.
Amen.
The sun shines on the railway station.
Hallelujah.
But it's enclosed in a canopy. When they press that sensor button, then it moves that shed and light comes in. Reflecting the sun, basically. If you follow after me, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. We need to follow the light.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light. Yes, let your light shine, because he lives in you. He will shine through you if you only allow him to. You and I need to reflect the true light to sinners.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Don't be dumb on people.
No.
Reflect.
All right.
Be reflection. Yeah.
The light to sinners. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
Father, we praise you.
Hallelujah.
Take the glory, take all the praise and the honor to you. As we search ourselves, Father, we've heard and we're asking inwardly if we are really concerned about others or only ourselves. Jesus left his home in glory to become a common man so that he can restore us, reconcile us, forgive us, and bring us back to the Father.
Yes.
It's a wonderful opportunity if you really do not know Christ as your personal Lord and dwelling Savior. Here's a chance to say, Jesus, take me. Come into my heart, into my life. Mold me afresh and make me somebody new. I've got good news for you.
If you need to be reconciled to the Lord, just raise your hands where you are. The good news I have for you is this. Any man, woman, boy, or girl being Christ is a new creature or a new creation.
Amen.
The old things are passed away and all things become new. So Father, those hands that were raised, I pray your spirit will draw them closer to you.
In the name of Jesus.
Reconcile! And indeed, put the ministry of reconciliation into them. So that like Christ reconciled us, they would be able to reconcile others too to you. We thank you today.
Yes, Father.
And we praise you.
Glory to God.
We ask forgiveness where we failed you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In the power that you've given us to witness, the ability to talk, to share the good news. God, you know there's so much more in the word that we wanted to talk about, because Jesus had said this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he had anointed me. He had anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He had anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, of all the prophets, until the Messiah came. That which was prophesied in Isaiah 4, the one which Jesus is quoting, that I'm quoting right now. Until he came, then the physical eyes of the blind were opened.
Hallelujah.
Then and more spiritual awakening began to dominate. Light, light, light. I am the light of the world. Open prison doors, set at liberty those that are bruised, and preach the international year of the Lord.
Yes.
So Father, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the word. Amen. Amen. The word says to do what? The Bible teaches us this. Preach the word.